on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. It's time now for another installment in our monthly series, Living Questions, in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in partnership with the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies. Last month, ICJS inaugurated a three-part lecture series called Imagining Justice in Baltimore, in which a Christian, Jewish, and Muslim scholar each address how his or her religious tradition understands the notion of justice and how that applies to Baltimore. In light of the wrenching events in the city last spring, the Institute hopes, with this series and other programs, to bridge ethnic, socioeconomic, and religious divides and to deepen and enrich appreciation for justice seeking as embodied by different faith traditions. My guest this morning is the second speaker in this series, and he speaks from the Jewish perspective. Dr. Mark Gopin is the director of the Center for World Religions, Diplomacy, and Conflict Resolution at George Mason University. He's also a rabbi and the author of many books. His latest is Bridges Across an Impossible Divide, The Inner Lives of Arab and Jewish Peacemakers. He joins me on the line from the NPR studios in Washington. Dr. Gopin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Great to have you. So I wonder, your background is in ethics and Jewish philosophy. You've had a 30-year career as a peace builder in conflict zones all around the world. Do you think there's a consensus on what justice means to people globally and interreligiously?
The basic concepts of human rights and justice actually resonate with people in almost every culture in the world. People never agree on what is just in a particular situation because everybody has their biases, their particular wounds and hurts and narratives. But the idea of justice as fairness is something that is very, very universally accepted. And that's why all the great philosophers from Aristotle all the way to John Rawls worked on that premise, you know, that justice and fairness and equality before the law is something that is revered in a certain way, almost as a part of human consciousness.
Your work as a peace builder involves your premise in biblical texts, in Jewish texts, to inform your work, preventing violence and building peace. What do those texts tell you about peace and justice, and how do the texts from the Jewish tradition help people from the Muslim or Christian traditions understand justice?
Well, sure. It's a 3,000-year-old tradition, at least. The Hebrew biblical text that most people know is only really one portion of the text, and it's actually shared from different traditions. And in those texts, you see some things that have a contribution here, and that is the concept of justice and the practice of justice is very tied up with a series of values that need to go into that process. So that, for example, one of the great sayings in the Talmud is that the world stands on truth and on justice and on peace. And it's based on a text in the Bible, and it basically is saying that where there is justice, there is peace, and where there is peace, there is justice, implying that without peace, there can't be justice, arguing against criminality, but without justice, there can't be peace, which argues against an oppressive society or an unfair society. So the magic formula is how to combine these pursuits of justice, peace, and truth and honesty. That's a formula for peace building when you think about it. And the other thing is that the biblical texts and the rabbinic texts focus on justice as something that is a mitzvah. It's a commandment. There's a biblical text that says, justice, justice, always pursue, which means that it's not just something that you happen to have if you have jury duty. It's something you have to go out and create every day as a part of your way of being, as a part of your spirituality, as a part of your citizenship with other human beings who are all created in the image of God. That requires people who live in a city like Baltimore or a city like Brussels to actively work at repairing whatever is wrong, and to do that by a process that's peaceful, which is a difficult art. And I've spent my lifetime on that, on exactly what that art is.
Dr. Mark Gopin is the director of George Mason University's Center for World Religions, Diplomacy, and Conflict Resolution. He'll be speaking on the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies series, Imagining Justice in Baltimore, a week from tomorrow. On 88.1, it's the Living Questions series here on Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Dr. Gorpin, I'm fascinated to hear your Talmudic linking of justice and peace and truth. And it reminds me, you know, you hear the protesters of Black Lives Matter back to the protesters of the 60s civil rights movement with the chant, "No justice, no peace." And you're saying that this comes from the Talmud. I'm fascinated by that. That's terrific.
Yeah, it's about 300 A.D., from Babylonia. It was very clearly based on a verse from Jeremiah, and it was a Rabbi Muna, and he said, where there is no justice, there will never be peace,
yeah.
And where there is no peace, there will never be justice.
Yeah, fantastic. Of course, religion comes not just with text, but with a lot of symbols, and religious symbolism can be a divide. It can be a barrier between religious traditions. How do you address those?
Well, symbols are a funny thing. Symbols can be divisive and symbols can be uniting. In my work of peace building, we also have to stay in touch constantly with the cutting edge of psychology, because psychology helps us understand when human beings can be violent and when they can be very nonviolent. And one of the keys is that symbolism is deep in our consciousness, but we have the power with how we wire our brains, with our thoughts, as to what symbols mean to us. And whether we use divisive symbols or whether we use uniting symbols. And one of the keys that we have to work on, every city, every community, is what are the symbols that bring people together? And you see all these wonderful things. There was this wonderful person in Tel Aviv who created this massive international movement called, you know, Israel Loves Iran and Iran Loves Israel. And he stimulated millions of people to put pictures of themselves embracing one person from one origin and one person from the other with this big title. And that became a symbol. It caught on around the world. And basically, it was an expression of the biblical and rabbinic idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, the golden rule, which is in all the great traditions. But he made this creative person made it into a symbol with a flag and a picture of embrace. And it just became electric. So the challenge is that communities have to make new symbols, symbols that don't violate their traditions, but that at the same time add on and create new customs and new symbols of coexistence and of the shared ethics that they have.
You've worked on behalf of peace in Syria. You've worked with Palestinians and Israelis. These are places with deep cultural and religious divides. In Baltimore and many other cities here in the U.S., it's racial and economic. It's not
right. Religious. Exactly.
What are the parallels between those, you know, divided societies in the Middle East and in Baltimore, and how do we resolve them?
That's exactly right. One of my books I write about this called Healing the Heart of Conflict, and I write about an amazing march that I think continues to this day in Virginia between black people and white people on the slave march. And they go through the places where they landed and then when they were chained, and we sort of bury the people together who lost their lives. And that became a symbol of healing and of love and forgiveness that was specifically focused on people of white origin and people of African origin. We have to work hard at developing those processes of reconciliation. This country made some great legal strides in terms of removing the scourge of slavery and then the scourge of segregation, but we didn't do nearly enough work, almost nothing, on healing the raw feelings of all communities, the African-American community, but also, frankly, the poor white community of the South. And because we just ignored that and figured that the law would take care of it, we've ended up in trouble. And we constantly keep coming up with this trouble of the grievances and the jealousies that poor folks, both white and black, have of each other, and then the legitimate fears and grievances that African Americans have from a system that still allows some cruelty and bias in the system. This is doable, but we as Americans were very legalistic. We thought the law was taking care of all these problems, but that's not true. The law is only as good as we are. The law is only as conciliatory as we are as a people. So people need to actually talk and listen and come up with perpetual processes where those kind of reconciliations become second nature. One of the most wonderful things that's happened in the Jewish-Christian relationship is the way in which, after so many centuries of terrible relations, you know, on Christmas Eve, lots of Jewish people will volunteer at soup kitchens so that other people can have their Christmas with their families. There are Passover Seders where people who are not Jewish will join from the African-American community, from the Christian community, from the Muslim community now. We really need to open up our ritual and ethical sides to a pursuit of justice, a pursuit of peace that then makes the law and the enforcement of law a common concern and a common commitment rather than something that can be seen as dividing us one against the other.
Sure. I've spoken to a number of scholars who study the Black Church, guys like Lester Spence, who's a political scientist here in Baltimore, wrote a book called Knocking the Hustle. He talks about how the Black Church is pacifying rather than politicizing African-Americans. Others have written about this as well, including Reverend Robert Armstrong, who preceded you in the ICJS series. How do you see the role of the synagogue and Judaism changing, and how do you respond to the folks who say, you know, they're just disenchanted with organized religion and its capacity to lead change?
Any institution that becomes organized and based on structures and particularly buildings has a tinge of wealth to it. And then that wealth becomes something that's not terribly just or democratic. It's very, very hard for pastors, whether they're Christian, Muslim, or Jewish, to have independent spiritual voices and really lead people based on spiritual values when their jobs are on the line all the time and they have to please every single congregant. So it becomes very hard for it to become an entity and a space in which there is major spiritual and ethical leadership. And that's true of all the communities. And that's why millions of people are voting with their feet and tend to call themselves spiritual more than they call themselves religious. I see a lot of vibrancy, though, at the same time. And I do believe that the more that the democratic spirit is imbibed in people who are younger in their 20s and 30s, you know, I want to see them organize themselves independently. And then very often they'll find a preacher, they'll find a rabbi who says exactly what they believe, and they'll become colleagues and they'll become co-conspirators in social change. And we see this in Los Angeles, some of my rabbinic colleagues there. We see this in New York with some of my rabbinic colleagues. There are many, many exciting experiments going on, but they're not the old model of somebody giving $1 million for a building and then they tell everybody what to do.
Right.
You know, that's a terrible model, and it's a model that loses people to spirituality altogether. But the new model is where social justice and peace and common values are. I think the rubber is hitting the road, and I think there's a lot of exciting movement.
Dr. Mark Gopin, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to your talk next week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Mark Gopin is the director of George Mason University's Center for World Religions, Diplomacy, and Conflict Resolution. He will be the second speaker on the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies series called Imagining Justice in Baltimore. He'll speak from the Jewish perspective a week from tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. The third lecture in the series will be presented by Najiba Saeed, professor at Claremont School of Theology and the director of the Center for Global Peacebuilding. She'll offer the Muslim perspective on imagining justice on May 3rd. We've got a link to the details on our website at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. And speaking of peace building, this program note, tomorrow night, my guest for our monthly music program, Choral Arts Classics, will be Chick Dombach, the former president and CEO of the Alliance for Peace Building. We're going to talk about the relationship between music and peace building. Hope you can join me tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, for Choral Arts Classics here on WYPR. This has been another discussion in our series, Living Questions, in which we explore all aspects of the role of religion in the public sphere. Living Questions is produced by WYPR in partnership with the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies. You can hear this and all of the conversations we've had in our Living Questions series when you visit our website, wypr.org/livingquestions. I'm Tom Hall. We're delighted that you've joined us here this morning on Maryland Morning. Lots more coming up. Stay with us.